to give of yourself, to give of your life so that we could be with you, God. May that be something that first we believe in, and then as we believe, it begins to change us and transform us, that our lives truly would delight in who you are. And because of it, others would see you alive in us. And they would say, what must I do to have what you have, this relationship with God that you do? I want it. We can just point to you, Jesus, and say, it's nothing that I've done, but it's his grace, his mercy that has saved me, that's made me right. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for today being able to come and worship, to watch online, for technology, to worship you in our houses, wherever we are, Lord. We just thank you. Let us not take it for granted. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You guys can be seated. Just want to welcome you this morning. I'm so glad that you guys are here, those of you who are here in this room, and those of you who are watching online. And we're so thankful that you would worship with us. In fact, I want to hear from you as you're watching online. If you would put hi in the comments or share what we're doing so that other people can worship along with us. But man, I'm just so glad to be here this morning. And I was encouraged this week by a student who's getting ready to go into ninth grade. This student, honestly, the last few years has dealt with some difficult things. But along these last few years, this student gave her life to Jesus. And it's awesome to see this transformation that has begun to happen in her life, that has happened in her life, and as she's grown. But she texted me this week. I'm the student pastor here. She sent me a text saying, just talking about how excited she was to grow and to read God's word, and how God's word had begun to change her. And she was so excited to the point that she got emotional as she was reading in her room, because she was reading about what Jesus had done for her. And I don't know about you, but when I read about the gospel, it's like the reality sinks in another time. When I read about the cross and the resurrection, the reality sinks in just again. It washes over me, this grace of a God who not just loved me, but proved his love by coming to earth to die. She was telling me about how excited she was about this, the faith that she has in a time where, you know, she has to be like shut in at home. She has to spend a lot of time at home. She said, for the first time, I had a conversation with my sister about God. And I just believe that in the midst of like all that's going on, it's like, man, God, how can you use this in a time where we're just spending time with family, or it's just a close group of people? But this student was excited about this opportunity because she said, I've never had it before. She was able to share her faith with her sister. And so I don't know the circumstances of those in this room, those watching online, but we have an opportunity wherever we are to share what Jesus has done in our lives, because he's still working, he's still moving, and he's still good. Well, we're going to continue in our Hero Maker series. This week, Bill's going to come up and teach, but before we do, would you take a look at this video?
We are Craig and Jennifer Alsop, and we're the parents of Sarah and Jude, and this is the Hero Maker story.
Some of the things that we do to disciple our kiddos and to involve them in the work of Christ is, just the everyday stuff. I mean, obviously talking about Jesus in the home. We're doing daily individual devotions where each of us individually are expected to do a devotion daily. And then we do a nightly devotion with the kids, just according to topics that, you know, we find important at the time. Beyond that, one of the biggest things is getting them involved in missions and getting them involved in the gospel so that they get to see that played out in our lives. I think it's kind of an old adage that, you know, people will learn more from what you do than what you say. And so obviously we try to say the right things. We try to tell them about Jesus, but we also try to act that out in our daily lives, whether it's daily decision-making, whether it's just what we expect of them and ourselves. As a family, And then beyond that, it's how we invite them to be a part of the mission work that we do. And so they get to go on mission trips. They get to see lives change. They get to see Jesus in action. And I think there's nothing more important than that. For us, that has been really probably the biggest thing, that we feel like our kids have jumped leaps and bounds ahead of what we were at their age, and even far beyond their age, just because they've gotten to see Jesus in action. They've gotten to see, just the miracle of the gospel.
I think that God has given us as a family an incredible opportunity to really live our daily lives on mission. When God called us to be missionaries 5 years ago, Craig and I made a decision that we're all in this as a family. It's not just him that's going to be doing this job. It's not just the two of us doing this job. It involved our kids from the very beginning and continues to do that. And I think when we made that decision 5 years ago, Jude was only a year old, and I don't think we really understood what all that meant. But as the kids have gotten older and as we've done this for a few years, we have seen the impact that it has had on them. I think that sometimes we go places and we do things and things are kind of scary, but maybe they hear a testimony or they see God work in a way that wasn't possible if we had stayed at home. And maybe that's what sticks with them, so that when they're in college and somebody says, "Why do you believe that? Why is it that you follow this God? There's nothing to that," or whatever, they're able to say, "No, I've had enough experiences. I've seen enough in my life to know that God is real, and there's nothing you can say to change my mind." And I think that's what it's all about, is giving them enough experiences and enough opportunities to see that lived out in our lives and in the lives of people on the field, to know that he's definitely real.
So what we hope to see out of discipling our kiddos and sharing this good news and sharing this gospel with them through words, but also through actions, and even bigger still, through things that, you know, a lot of people would be really scared to get their kids involved in, like mission trips and being overseas and things like that, is that our kids will grow up with a faith that is strong, that has with faith muscles that have been exercised, that have been used, and I just hope for such fruit from their lives, so far beyond what we've seen in our lives. We got into this missions thing late. We were 30-something years old before we stepped out really in faith to do much with this good news. And I hope that's different for our kids. I hope that they grow up to share the gospel, and they grow up to pray over people like we've seen them do in Fiji and Nepal and Mongolia and different places we've taken them. And so we just hope that discipling our kids turns into a movement in their lives that makes an impact for the gospel and that makes an impact for the nations.
Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody who is here. And those of you that are joining us online, thanks for tuning in there as well. You know, it's interesting. Nearly every week we have some new folks in service, and I know we have new folks who join us online as well. So if it's your first time with us, thanks for being here. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Bill. What to say as we get started this morning? When I was growing up in our family, I think it was my dad or maybe my mom that used to say this all the time, like, you can't win for losing sometimes. And that's kind of the way that I feel today. So I just feel like I need to be honest with you all. With that. So I don't know. It's been, I think over the last, like for me personally, over the last like 3 months, has been a really challenging period in ministry, just with all that's happening with, you know, the coronavirus and like trying to make decisions related to that. And then all the racial issues that have been happening in our world over the last, you know, what, 6 or 8 weeks now as well. And then to get a phone call this morning while I was driving in that there is water flooding out of all of the doors of the other building. So if we weren't trying to water the carpet inside the building, that just happened. So, I just share all that to say, just, I'm sure, like, hopefully insurance covers all that stuff, but I'll just, like, honestly, that's just kind of weighing on me this morning. So, well, we're going to plow through. The show must go on, as they say. So we're going to continue our Hero Maker series, but let me pray for us as we get started. Heavenly Father, God, you know the circumstances of our lives long before we do. And when we don't understand what is happening, you do. And Father, that it's a great promise to know that regardless of what we go through in life, that you never leave us or forsake us. And God, I just trust in the fact that you are living and active in our world. Father, just continue to shape us to be the people that you want us to be. I pray that you would just that you would continue to meet with us over the next few minutes as we spend some time in your word today. Just continue to challenge us in the area of being hero makers. So just bless our time, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All of us have a story, and all of our stories are important. The experiences that we've gone through, the circumstances of our lives, God has used those things to draw us to himself, to bring us to faith. Those of us that have made that step, taking the opportunity to trust Christ as our Savior, and then other experiences shape us to be who God wants us to be. And so part of my story, and those of you that have been around our church for a long time, you know this, but part of my story is that I was blessed to grow up in a Christian family, grew up in church. And so that has clearly shaped my life in many different ways. But as I think back on my church experience, I realize that music has had a significant impact in my view of God and in my view of faith. I mean, going all the way back to my earliest childhood memories in church, singing songs like Jesus Loves Me and the B-I-B-L-E, those kinds of things. And then as I got a little bit older, it was often hymns that shaped my faith and my view of God. Now, I've got to stop, honestly, for the sake of my own children, and explain that. So back before we had computers and projection screens, in the back of the seats, or growing up we had pews, there was a book. In that book that we called a hymnal were songs, and those songs we called hymns. And so we used to have to take the book out and open it to be able to sing together. Now, some of you that are here, I know you had that experience with me. There's times that we nostalgically look back and miss those days, but those hymns really often shape my life. One of those hymns that I think really shaped my faith was a hymn called How Firm a Foundation. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. That's the first verse of that song, How Firm a Foundation. I know it's poetic, and there's some these and thou kind of language in there, so it's easy to kind of miss the point. But I think that song had a significant influence in my life, helping me to understand that my life should be built on the Word of God, the Bible. That this line is really significant, I think, in my faith development too, the idea that what more can he say than to you he has said? In other words, we don't need God necessarily to tell us anything other than what he has already said in his word. The rest of the song basically talks about the significance of building your life on the foundation of God's word or the foundation of the Bible, that when you go through fiery trials, we don't have to be afraid because we have the promises that God has given to us in his word. So it's so important, and I think that was a message that was instilled in me through that song and through others that we used to sing, just the significant importance of God's word being a part of our lives. That's the foundation that we should build our lives and our faith on. I'm sure all of you have heard the old saying, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, you feed him for a lifetime. I want to give you a similar kind of statement to that. It's a little bit different, though. Here's the statement. You give a person advice, you may change his life. But if you help them to understand how to to know and apply the Word of God, you potentially change their eternity. So as we think about being hero makers, we've been talking about that over the last several weeks, investing ourselves into the life of someone else to make them great. As we think about all of the things that we could potentially do for people, we can give them advice, help them out with their finances. We can do so many things for people, but I think the most significant thing that we could ever do for somebody else is to help them to understand how to know and apply the Word of God, because that's what can change their life. So here is our Hero Maker rule for today. This is Hero Maker rule number 5. Hero Maker rule number 5 is this, that a Hero Maker's life and influence is rooted in the Word of God. And so today we're going to be looking at a pair of Hero Makers, Priscilla and Aquila. And so if you have a Bible with you this morning, or if you've got one, those of you that are watching online, you can turn to Acts chapter 18. We're going to look at Acts 18, 24 through 28 this morning. This couple, husband and wife team, was dedicated to teaching people the Word of God. And so if you don't have a Bible with you, and you have your smartphone and you're a YouVersion Bible app user, you can navigate your way to our live event and follow along there. There's some resources that I'm going to point out later on, so be sure that you look at that later. And if you don't have either of those things, it's going to be on the screen as I read it. And as we talk about the story of Priscilla and Aquila here, what we're going to do is talk about why helping people to understand the Bible is so important. This is Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Throughout this Hero Maker series, we've been looking at different hero makers in the book of Acts. If we had taken time to read through the entire book, if we were working through it verse by verse, you would know that this is not the first time that Aquila and Priscilla show up. The first time we're introduced to them, we find that they are associates of the Apostle Paul, highly influenced by Paul's ministry, and later he even mentions them towards the end of the book of Romans as fellow workers in the gospel. This is, however, the first time that Apollos shows up. Now, you may not be really familiar with Apollos, but he's actually a very prominent figure in the early church. This being the first time that he shows up here, but it's not the only time that he shows up in the New Testament. In the book of 1 Corinthians, the letter that Paul wrote, at the beginning of the book, he addresses division within the church, and he says, some say, I follow Paul, while others say, I follow Apollos, and the really spiritual people say, I don't follow either of those, I just follow Jesus. And Paul says, listen, you guys shouldn't think that way. It's not about who you follow, but we need to get along in this and stay unified in that. In the book of Titus, Paul writes to Titus and asks Titus to send Apollos to him when he was in prison. And actually, many Bible scholars believe that Apollos was the author of the book of Hebrews as well. So again, he's kind of a prominent figure within the early church, but this is the first place that he shows up. And I don't know if, as I read through that just a minute ago, if you notice the way in which Apollos is described. He's described as being eloquent, so he's a good speaker, competent, so he knew what he was talking about, competent in the ways of Jesus. And he was fervent in spirit, which likely means just really passionate about what he was doing. But yet at the same time, in spite of all of that, that description of him, there was a deficiency. It said that he only knew about the baptism of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, that's the cousin of Jesus, He was kind of the forerunner of Jesus. According to John's own words, he was the one who was the voice calling out in the desert, make way, make straight the way for the Lord. So he taught people out in the countryside and told them to repent and be baptized because the kingdom of God was coming. And then Jesus showed up and Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And so we got to really kind of think about this as we're just putting all of this in context. How was it that Apollos could be eloquent, competent, and fervent in spirit, but yet still only know of the baptism of John the Baptist? Like, so what did he actually know and what was he actually doing? I think what Apollos knew was everything up to the time of the beginning of the church. So in other words, when he was going places, he was teaching them about Jesus and helping them to understand that Jesus was the Messiah that they needed to trust in. So he knew all of that, but he just didn't know the rest of the story. He didn't know about what happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached and thousands of people came to faith in Christ. He didn't know about the beginnings of the church as the people gathered together and devoted themselves to one another. He didn't know about how the gospel was for all people. And so it was Priscilla and Aquila who heard him. They were impressed with his teaching, but they recognized this deficiency. And he just didn't know the whole story. And so they were the ones who took him aside. They invested in him and taught him the rest of the story, the whole story. They taught him the ways of God more completely. So they helped him to understand more about the Word of God. Now, this is an interesting aside in this too, and we don't have time to really develop this a little bit, but I think it's important to mention this. The first time that we read about Aquila and Priscilla, that's the order. It's Aquila the husband and Priscilla the wife. That's the way that they're mentioned. Here in this section, though, it is Priscilla and Aquila. Any time in the Bible, most of the time in the Bible, when there's a list of names, the most prominent person is listed first. Now, so just likely the indication here with the Priscilla, the wife, being mentioned first, it's likely that she had the more prominent role in teaching and training Apollos. And again, we don't have time to develop this, but here, this is what I want to say to us men, guys. We do not have a corner on the truth of the Word of God. That there is a lot that we can learn about God and about God's Word from women. So just kind of, I think that's an important observation to make, but that's not necessarily the point that we're looking at today. Because the significance of this passage, I think, is we have this man, Apollos, who's a great speaker, understands some things, wants to be used by God to do something significant, but yet there's a deficiency. And it was Priscilla and Aquila who said, Apollos, let's go back home and let's spend some time looking more at the Word of God so that you understand the Word of God and what God is doing and what God has been doing more completely so that you can be more effective at what God has called you to do. And we see that at the end of the passage, that he then goes out and he is able to powerfully, verse 28, refute the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. So he continued to do his ministry and was continued to be used by God to do incredible things. But it was Priscilla and Aquila as hero makers whose life and influence was rooted in the Word of God. And again, just think about this. There are so many ways that we can help people, that we can encourage people, so many things that we could give them. But the most important thing, if we want to be real hero makers, the most important thing that we could ever do is help people to understand the Word of God and make sure that our lives are rooted in the Word of God too, that we're living out the truths of God's Word. Now, why is that significant? I'm going to give you just a couple of reasons. One is because the Bible is God's primary method of communication to us. So there's lots of different ways that God could potentially speak to us. We know in some sense God has spoken to us in creation, that we can look out at creation. Creation declares the glory of God, so we can look at creation and see something about God. There's a sense in which God has spoken to us in that way. when you hear somebody teach and you think to yourself, I need to apply that to my life. Or you hear something that somebody says and it's convicting, like I need to make this change in my life. There's a sense in which that is God speaking to you through another person. It's the way that God can speak to us. In addition to that, the Holy Spirit can guide us in different ways. And so there's a sense in which God can speak to us through that way as well. But it's the Bible that is God's primary method of communication to us. And so what I mean by that is that all of the other ways that God can potentially speak to us should be filtered through how God has spoken to us in His Word. Because God is never going to say something that contradicts what He has already said. I mean, I kind of go back to what I learned in that song when I was growing up in church. God doesn't need to say anything other than what He has already said in His Word. He has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. So I need to know the Word of God. And that's what I should be giving to other people. So the second reason that our, as hero makers, our life and influence should be rooted in the Word of God is because it's God's Word that changes lives. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it's the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. He says that the Word of God is inspired, or God-breathed. That's literally what it means. The Word of God is inspired, God-breathed, or it is exactly what God intended to give to us. What is in the 66 books of the Bible is exactly what God wanted to communicate to us. And it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, so that the people of God are equipped to do everything that He calls us to do. So in other words, the Bible is exactly what God intended to give to us, and it teaches us, it helps us to understand how to live. When we get it wrong, it points out what's wrong, and then helps us to get it right, so that we can do exactly what God desires us to do. Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, and can pierce the depths of our hearts. It's the Word of God that is able to break through the calluses that we have developed in our lives, point out blind spots in our lives, and bring about change. You see, as we think about, again, there's so many things that we can do to help people, but ultimately it's the Word of God that's what brings about lasting change. I might give advice. That advice may work, it may not work, but the truth of God, the truth of God's Word, will never let us down. The last reason that this is so significant as hero makers to have our lives and influence rooted in the Word of God is because our influence, we don't want our influence to just be about now. We want it to be about eternity. The only way that we know who God is because God has chosen to reveal Himself in His Word. The only reason that we know about God's love is because God has revealed it to us in His Word. The only way that we know how to have a relationship with God is because God has revealed it to us in His Word. And the Bible is an absolutely incredible book. Though it is made of 66 books with many different authors written over about 1,500 years, it's a book with one story. I think the story of the Bible is the revelation of the glory of God through the redemption of man. In other words, it is about how great God is, and that is revealed through the way in which God has chosen to redeem us. I want you to think about this. Think about the way that the Bible begins and ends. In the book of Genesis, it begins in the Garden of Eden. This paradise where everything was exactly the way that God intended it to be. Just a couple of pages in chapter 3, we see sin enter the picture and in some sense ruin everything that God had intended. But even from the very beginning, God said that one day a Messiah would come and He would come to make everything right. Flip all the way to the end. How does the book of Revelation end? It ends in the new heaven and new earth, a recreation back to the way that God had originally intended it to be, where there is no more sickness and pain and death and crying. All those things are gone because he has made everything new. And in the middle, we read about God's love for humanity. We read about how he sent his one and only son to lay down his life for our sins so that by faith in him, we could have eternal life. It is in the word of God that we read that we are saved by grace through faith. It's not about what we do. It's about what Jesus has accomplished for us. And so it is that message that changes our eternities. There's nothing else that we can do to help people understand eternity other than what is written in the Word of God. And so as hero makers, we want our influence to not just be about what happens now, but we want to help people live better in this life. But the biggest thing that we can do is help them to understand how to experience eternity. And the only way that we know that is what's found in the Word of God. So a hero maker's life and influence is deeply rooted in the Word of God. Now, here's the question. What do we do with all of this? Because I want it to be, all of the messages in this series, I want to be very practical for all of us. Let me give you just a couple of things to do. If we want our lives and our influence to be rooted in the Word of God, you know what we have to do? We have to read it. Daily. Read it. It's not just enough to come to a service once a week and hear about the Word of God. We need to be reading it on our own regularly. I sometimes explain it this way. Our family, we go out to eat about once a week. If the only time that I ever ate any food was the time that we went out to eat once a week, regardless of how good that food was, regardless of how great that restaurant is, do you know what I would be? I would be very, very unhealthy. And it's funny to me how so often that's what people do, though. They come into church to get something. They want to be encouraged by the Word of God, but they never look at it the rest of the week. We've got to read it daily. And let me tell you this, I think more than just a verse a day. A verse a day is good, but the Bible is not written like a fortune cookie. You just break it open one day and you see what it says. That's part of why we do. There's a philosophy behind why we do what we do. Why did I read a paragraph of Scripture today? Because we need to know the context, because that's really important. And so we have several different things as a church to help build in the discipline of regular daily Bible reading. That's why we have the Chapter Day Challenge, where we are now in 1 Kings. We started in Matthew a couple of years ago, and now we're in 1 Kings. Just read it a chapter a day. We have the family devotional that we've done this summer to help build in the discipline of being in God's Word on a regular basis. And our sister groups for ladies have done different things to build in that discipline because we need to be reading the Word of God. That's the first thing that we do. If we want our lives and our influence to be deeply rooted in the Word of God, we've got to read it. The other thing that we have to do is study it. We have to learn how to study the Bible, how to read the Bible so that we can take it and apply it to our lives in the right way. And I'm going to be done in just a second. We don't have near the time to talk about the process of studying God's Word. But in our YouVersion live event, there are two resources that I want to point you to. And I would highly encourage these two things. There is a link there that takes you to Right Now Media. And there's a video series called The Secret Church, How to Study the Bible. And so that's one of the options that is there. The other option that's there is a free course that you can take online from Dallas Theological Seminary that's called How to Read the Bible Like a Seminary Professor. Both kind of cover the very similar material because the professor who does How to Read the Bible Like a Professor has influenced all of us. And so it's his stuff that has influenced us. Part of why what we are doing in our growth groups is to help you, and we have a class, one of the topics that we do is how to study the Bible. But all of our growth groups kind of go back to that to understand how we study the Bible so that we get what we need to out of it and take the Word of God and apply it rightly to our lives, and then as we give it to other people, we do that as well. We've got to read it, and we've got to study it. So here is your Hero Maker Challenge for this week. I want you to develop a personal action plan as it relates to your reading and studying of the Word of God. So what are you going to do for daily reading? And again, I've given you several different options. There are things that we do. You can be part of our chapter day challenge. There's a video that we post on our there's a table devotional Facebook page. You can read that, get a little bit of background, and just a way of accountability. So that's one of the things that you can do. You can just find your own Bible reading plan. There are many different plans out there. Read through a Bible in a year, those kinds of things. So what are you going to do for reading? And then the second thing that I really want you to think about is, what are you going to do to better your skills at being able to understand the Word of God? And so again, that may be that course from Right Now Media, or the one from Dallas Seminary. And then once you do that one, if you go to the same website, so it's courses.dts.edu, there's a bunch of different classes that you can take there for free. If you want access to Right Now Media and you do not have access to that, let me know. We can get that to you for free. And Right Now Media is a Bible study video library. You can have lots of, you'll have access to everything that's there as well. It's a great resource for you. But develop that personal action plan. How are you going to read the Bible daily? How are you going to get better at your understanding of the Word of God? The reason that this is important is because as hero makers, if we want to really make a difference in the lives of other people, our life and influence must be rooted in the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us in your Word. Father, thanks for helping us to see how great you are. Help and helping us to understand your love for us. And Father, for those of us who've taken that step across that line of faith and said, yes, I believe, we recognize that not only have you done something for us in bringing us into your family of faith, but God, you want to do something through us as well, and you want to use us to make a difference in the lives of other people and point them back to you. And the only way that we can do that effectively is by knowing and understanding your Word. And so, Father, I pray that you would help us to do that. Help us to build the discipline to read and study regularly, to make sure that our lives are rooted in that firm foundation of your Word. And may that be what we can give to others, to influence their lives, not just for here and now, but to make a difference in their eternity. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.